Welcome back, beautiful souls, to our 25th episode of Spirituality with Kayun. Last week, I talked about how the practice of acceptance leads to a more fulfilling life. I received lots of feedback on how relatable the episode was for many of you, so today I want to continue with a similar topic, which is embracing change. As we all know, change is the only thing that is constant. So why do we often resist change? Why do we want to hold on to things or people even when they no longer serve us? For me, I love being in my comfort zone. It feels safe, familiar, and I know what to expect. I love keeping things as they are and having more control of my surroundings. I don't like changing my habits, my beliefs, my routines, my diet, my schedule. Oh, that feeling I get when someone cancels on me last minute or when my class schedule changes out of nowhere. One of the reasons I don't like change is because of my ego. My ego likes security and control, which is normal, I guess. For most, changes resist because we have different needs such as social, psychological, material, or neurological. We all want to be connected with others. I remember when I first decided to quit the corporate world and fly to India to embark my spiritual journey, I worried so much about the opinion of others and was afraid of what they would say. I didn't know how to tell people around me, and being easily influenced when I was younger, I knew I would easily get swayed. I care a lot about what other people thought, and to some certain extent, I still do. But much less, of course. This is because human beings want to be accepted and respected. Having meaningful relationships is one of our social needs. Then there are psychological needs, such as the need for confidence and self-esteem. If I'm doing something new, I would be afraid to fail as I'm not as confident about achieving the goals or being successful. Many times, older people and even myself resist change because our past plays a significant role in our sense of self-esteem. I'm not tech-savvy at all, and I just feel overwhelmed by the rapid pace of technological advancements, and I find it so difficult to keep up. Does anyone else feel this way? As for material or physical needs, we have this need for security and comfort. Why lose my job if there's a change? Will they find someone younger who can easily adapt to new changes to replace me? Changes can present a risk for people. Whenever someone tells me a change, my immediate response, which is neurological, is a hard no. I think most people take comfort in routine and we want certainty. We don't like the unknown. We like things to be done in the same way. I notice that sometimes my brain responds to information and reacts to lack of information as a threat. That's why many people fear death. We don't know where we will go after. Whenever there's a change, I go through this cycle. I get shocked or surprised at first. Then I'm in denial. I would tell myself, no, this can't be happening, and search for evidence to prove that it's not true. When I start recognizing that things are now different, everything goes downhill. I feel frustrated, angry, or even worse, depressed. It used to take me a while to get back up, a little time or a lot of time, to adapt to the new situation. Then after finally deciding to accept the new change, I come back around and try to see the positive side of it. Spiritual teachings guide us to manage and embrace change. Rather than going through denial, stress, anxiety, frustration, unhappiness, depression, we can learn to understand that each moment is what it should be and skip the part where we go downhill. We shouldn't resist because change is a natural part of life. It is inevitable. We can look at nature, the changing of the seasons, the weather, the growth and decay of plants and animals, the ocean tides, or the rotation of the earth itself are all in a state of constant flux. There's also climate change, deforestation, extinction, natural disaster, such and such. some of which occur naturally over long periods of time, while others may be the result of our activities. If we look at ourselves, we obviously don't look the same as we did as a baby, as a kid, 10 years ago, or even just a few days ago. Although we may not notice it, our bodies are aging every second. Buddha says that we begin to die from the moment we are born, for birth is the cause of death. The nature of decay is inherent in youth. The nature of sickness is inherent in health. In the midst of life, we are rarely in death. In Eastern philosophies, there's a concept known as samsara, which refers to the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth that all living beings go through. Everything, including us, is subject to impermanence, and nothing remains the same forever. Aside from our bodies, our thoughts and emotions are always in a constant state of flux. Remember the episode a few weeks ago on the monkey mind? It is the nature of our minds to change all the time. Relationships come and go as well. I always feel we should really cherish and value those who have always been by our side. Our jobs and career change, our environment, our surroundings, our community, everything is constantly evolving. The more I understand that everything in the universe is constantly in motion, the more I start to embrace change. I love this quote by the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu. He says, "Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. They only create sorrow. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward in whatever way they like." When we resist change, we actually disrupt the natural flow of energy in the universe, causing tension, stress, anxiety, frustration, anger, and other emotions that drain us. Just imagine yourself swimming against the current of a river. For the longest, I was suffering because I was trying to control everything, and I was ignorant. I didn't even realize. Now, if we align ourselves with the natural flow of life, trusting that the change or the universe is leading us towards our highest potential, then life becomes easier. COVID has really taught me how to embrace change. I think we can all agree that the pandemic has been a real challenge, and it has certainly brought a lot of stress for everyone around the world. However, our response to it varied widely. Some might have complained all day about the lockdowns, catching the flu, shortage of supplies, not being able to fly or travel, etc., etc. But others had greater ability to adapt to the change and even embrace the new condition. Some individuals and companies even took this opportunity to create new products or adjust their business models to accommodate the needs of everyone during this difficult time. I think our mindset is extremely important. With a growth mindset, we can see challenges and setbacks as a way to learn and develop. On the contrary, if our mindset is too fixed, rigid, or unchangeable, we will probably feel stuck and just complain all day. Socrates says, "The secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new." Before COVID, being the introvert that I am, I was very comfortable, kind of living in my own cave. I moved away from the city and out to the countryside. I quit social media for many years because I just wanted more time, more silence, and to focus on my personal and spiritual growth. For a number of reasons, I requested to transfer to a smaller and a more intimate studio with my company. I was very happy just sharing the practice of yoga to a few close students who were very interested in meditation, yoga philosophy, chanting, and just yoga beyond the postures. During COVID, however, we were in a lockdown for so long that I really had no choice but to teach online. One of my managers asked me to teach live on Zoom, and in the beginning, I kept on rejecting her. I'm actually quite a shy person, so getting on camera, teaching on camera, teaching live on camera was super uncomfortable for me. But eventually I gave in. Who knew how long we were going to be in the lockdown for? So finally I mustered up some courage and I did it. Oh my god, you have no idea how long it took me to prepare for my first online yoga class. Probably for the first 30 classes or so, I spent so much time making sure that everything was perfect, that I had some kind of decor, plants or flowers in the background, that my hair, my face, my attire were presentable, that my mat was perfectly placed in the center of the screen. Then I started giving mental wellness talks, which most people needed at that time. For my first talk, I read my script almost 100 times. I was so nervous and scared, even though I had been doing the same thing in small group settings for a long time. But ever since then, I started embracing the new conditions and began to enjoy sharing spiritual teachings with more and more people on this online platform. I was also able to meet many like-minded souls outside of my city. Eventually, I started going on social media again for work, and here I am now connecting with all of you on this podcast. So the pandemic has really changed my way of teaching, and I'm now able to share with not only a small group of students, but with seekers all over the world who are also interested in spirituality. Of course, I believe the practice of yoga, meditation, and mindfulness has tremendously shaped who I am now. At the ashrams, we will always chant, adopt, adjust, accommodate. I think I've been brainwashed to embrace change and cultivate a more accepting mindset. The practice of being present and the practice of non-attachment helped me cope with change and fear of uncertainty. With breath awareness and meditation practice, I'm able to better cope with tension, stress, and even calm my mind amidst the chaos that I find myself in sometimes. Through longer holds in yoga postures, I've learned to breathe through discomfort and develop a more resilient mindset. The more I train my physical strength and flexibility, the greater sense of mental and emotional strength and flexibility I gain at the same time. You know, these days when we practice yoga, we would grab props like blocks, straps, blankets, bolsters, chairs, or we even move to the wall sometimes. However, yoga was not always practiced in this way. Traditionally, the ancient yogis never even used a yoga mat. When BKS Iyengar, a great master, came to the West to spread yogi teachings, he saw that the body shape, size, flexibility, and strength of the Westerners were not the same as people who practice yoga all their lives in India. So what he did was adapt to their needs. He developed what is now called Iyengar Yoga, which is a style that uses various props to help students achieve proper alignment and to deepen their poses. This approach made yoga accessible for everyone. After all, yoga is for everybody. In today's modern yoga world, we find practitioners using blocks, bolster straps, and almost all studios and at home as well. Iyengar's teachings have had a significant influence on the practice of yoga worldwide. Classes such as wall rope yoga, alignment yoga, chair yoga, and restorative yoga were all inspired by Iyengar. I'm going to end with this quote by BKS Iyengar. He believed that change is not something that we should fear. Rather, it is something that we should welcome. For without change, nothing in this world would ever grow or blossom, and no one in this world would ever move forward to become the person they're meant to be. Thank you all for listening. If you have any sharing, questions, or comments, I would love to hear your thoughts. Find me on Instagram, kyun_. If you're enjoying this podcast, please do give me a rating on Spotify. Have a great morning or evening wherever you are. The light's within me. Bow to the divine lights within you. Namaste, everyone.